to swim the English Channel. Having been born only weeks apart, Pierrot and Orchelle had grown up practically as brothers, one mother taking care of both babies when the other needed a nap. But unlike a lot of brothers, they never argued. Orchelle had been born deaf, so the boys had developed a sign language early on, communicating easily and expressing through nimble fingers everything they needed to say. They even created special symbols for each other to use instead of their names. Orchelle gave Pierrot the sign of the dog, as he considered his friend to be both kind and loyal, while Pierrot adopted the sign of the fox for Orchelle, who everyone said was the smartest boy in their class. They spent most of their time together, kicking a football around in the Champ de Mars and reading the same books. So close was their friendship that Pierrot was the only person Orchelle allowed to read the stories he wrote in his bedroom at night. Not even Madame Bronstein knew that her son wanted to be a writer.
"This one's good,"
Pierrot would sign, his fingers fluttering in the air as he handed back a bundle of pages.
"I like the bit about the horse and the part where the gold is discovered hidden in the coffin. This one's not so good,"
he would continue, handing back a second sheaf.
"But that's because your handwriting is so terrible that I wasn't able to read some parts. And this one,"
he would add, waving a third pile in the air as if he was at a parade.
"This one doesn't make any sense at all. I'd throw this one in the bin if I were you." "It's experimental,"
signed Orchelle, who didn't mind criticism, but could sometimes be a little defensive about the stories his friend enjoyed the least.
"No,"
signed Pierrot, shaking his head.
"It just doesn't make any sense. You should never let anyone read this one. They'll think you've lost your marbles."
Pierrot, too, liked the idea of writing stories, but he could never sit still long enough to put the words down on the page. Instead, he sat on a chair opposite his friend and just started signing, making things up, or describing some escapade that he had got up to in school, and Orchelle would watch carefully before transcribing them for him later.
"So, did I write this?"
Pierrot asked when he was finally given the pages and read through them.
"No, I wrote it,"
Orchelle replied, shaking his head.
"But it's your story."
Emily, Pierrot's mother, rarely talked about his father anymore, although the boy still thought of him constantly. Wilhelm Fischer had lived with his wife and son until 3 years earlier, but left Paris in the summer of 1933, a few months after his son's fourth birthday. Pierrot remembered his father as a tall man who would mimic the sounds of a horse as he carried the boy on his broad shoulders through the streets, breaking into an occasional gallop that always made Pierrot scream with delight. He taught his son German to remind him of his ancestry and did his best to help him learn simple songs on the piano, though Pierrot knew he would never be as accomplished as his father. Papa played folk songs that brought tears to the eyes of visitors, particularly when he sang along in that soft but powerful voice that spoke of memory and regret. If his musical skills were not great, Pierrot made up for this with his skill at languages. He could flit between speaking German to his father and French to his mother with no difficulty whatsoever. His party trick was singing La Marseillaise in German and then Das Deutschlandlied in French, a skill that sometimes made dinner guests uncomfortable.
"I don't want you doing that anymore, Pierrot,"
Maman told him one evening after his performance had caused a mild disagreement with some neighbors.
"Learn something else if you want to show off. Juggling, magic tricks, standing on your head, anything that doesn't involve singing in German." "What's wrong with German?"
asked Pierrot.
"Yes, Emily,"
said Papa from the armchair in the corner, where he had spent the evening drinking too much wine, something that always left him brooding over the bad experiences that haunted him.
"What's wrong with German?"
"Haven't you had enough, Wilhelm?"
she asked, her hands pressed firmly to her hips as she turned to look at him.
"Enough of what? Enough of your friends insulting my country?"
"They weren't insulting it," she said. "They just find it difficult to forget the war, that's all. Particularly those who lost loved ones in the trenches."
"And yet they don't mind coming into my home, eating my food and drinking my wine?"
Papa waited until Maman had returned to the kitchen before summoning Pierrot over and placing an arm around his waist.
"Someday, we will take back what's ours,"
he said, looking the boy directly in the eye.
"And when we do, remember whose side you're on. You may have been born in France and you may live in Paris, but you're German through and through.